this summer's extension of RCIA, because we like to have it year-round. We're going to take a bit of a break, so about a month or so. And then we're going to come back mid-July for a five-week, really simple, enjoyable faith-sharing opportunity. And it's going to be built around seeing two movies. And we're going to watch The Shack on July 16th, and I'll provide the popcorn. And following that, we will spend two Tuesday evenings where we will come to a deeper understanding of the sacraments of initiation that you've received through scenes captured from that movie. But we want to watch the whole movie together in its entirety, and then we'll use some of these clips, okay? Then on the fourth week, we're going to watch the movie War Room. And then the Tuesday after that, we'll use clips from that movie to understand in a more profound way the sacrament of matrimony. Okay? So 5 weeks, two of those nights we'll be watching a feature film. If you can drop in and out, I'm sure you can benefit from that, just based on your schedule. If you've never watched those movies, you'll probably want to watch it before we use the clips. But if you've watched the movies, you can easily drop in. No worries. It's like always with RCIA. We try, like Jesus always did, to meet you where you're at. Okay? So it'll be regular time, 7 to 8:45-ish right here in the Santa Cruz room on Tuesday nights.
After that, food comma, thank you.
Food coma. Put a comma after the coma.
Well, I'm in a coma.
Okay. So raise your hand again if you had received sacraments through RCIA prior to this Easter vigil. Let's see the show of hands. Okay. So if you received sacraments prior to this Easter vigil. Okay, so it's about, through RCA, it's about half the people. Hey, here's another way to say it if you're confused. Who received sacraments at this year's Easter Vigil? Raise your hand. Okay, see, it's about the same amount of people. All right.
Boy, yeah,
this food coma comma is really going to be. Okay. So part of coming back, I'd just be interested. Let me throw this question out. Why come back for a reunion? Well, we'll ask you that next year if you come back. But for those of you who received in past years, why come back for an RCIA reunion?
Of family members. I mean, certainly the year that I went through and all the other years I came back, people feel closer than the average person on the street. Mm-hmm. Family.
And to see whether or not it stuck with everybody. Mm-hmm. You need a refresher, I think.
Okay. So, for those of you who came to the reunion for previous years, what does that word mean still to you? Because Father, if you were here by 6:45, Father Joe said a prayer, and he talked about Mysagogia being our lifelong call. So, mystery of?
Of God's love for us.
And when did Mysagogia start for you?
Individual, the way this
An individual. Yeah, after the receiving the sacraments you received at the vigil, right? Okay. How else would you explain that? Because you're still living your mystagogia, as we all are. Remember, there's four steps in the RCIA process, and for the first three, there was a rite that we celebrated. And so somebody asked me when I was speaking about RCIA at this year's university series, somebody said, well, how come there's no rite at the end of Mysagogia? And I said, think about that for a minute. Mysagogia is for the rest of your life. So if you need a rite.
No speakable content.
Wow.
We speak out of this.
This is going to be fun. So if you need to look at a rite. My response to them was, well, then your rite is viatica. It's the last time you see the Eucharist before you die. If you have an opportunity to do that before you die. Okay? Because it goes right to the end of your life. And so you, if you've lived as a faithful son or daughter of God the Father, if you have begged the Spirit to work in and through you, and followed Jesus as a faithful disciple, then you fall lovingly into the fullness of God's love. God's loving embrace. Okay. So for those who receive sacraments this year, they're just introduced into this concept. We're going to rely on your experience, those of you who are cradle Catholics, and whatever time you first came to this knowledge, which was probably, I'm looking at Patty. Patty, I think of when you went through RCIA as a sponsor, you probably came to this understanding for the first time in Mystagogia, right?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. And my first experience with RCIA here was 7 years ago. I think at the RCIA reunion, I had just sponsored someone in Thousand Oaks, and I really hadn't been attending Mass yet. And I called Deacon Don, and I said, well, I just went through RCIA at St. Paschal de Aimon. Can I come to this reunion? And so that was when I first became involved here.
And I'd honestly say I really never understood the term until I went through RCIA the first year as a member of a team and being a sponsor, too. And since we are talking about mystery, the mystery of God's love, remember, mystery is never something we can, as human beings, fully comprehend. Because we can't comprehend God with our limited faculties, spiritual, intellectual, even sensual. But we can dive more deeply into them and open our hearts and allow that to work in us in this continual transformation. So we can continue to grow in our experience and, I guess, in one sense, say, understanding. That's what our faith life is like. So I'm taking a different tack this year with Mystagogia. Everybody here, I keep saying that to them, and they're like, okay, it's our first time, we don't know any difference. But for those who are members of the team, they see a difference. And I think you'll see a difference here, too. So one of the things that I was exposed to this year is, one way of looking at Mystagogia is, it's God's dream. Now, not like God's a human being and needs to sleep and get REM, right? More of the idea of your ultimate hope. God has one hope, one dream. And you think, well, what would, God's everything, what would that be? Well, if you understand the heart of these sacraments, it makes sense. So let me just do a little bit of background for everyone who wasn't here for last week, and it'll let us launch right into this. So last week what we did, and what we did after this, we did it every Mystagogia, but we never did this, and I don't know why, because it's very logical. But before we looked at ways of being involved in the parish, we actually looked at the parish mission statement, which was reformed by our parish council, I think, 2 years ago. Jack, is that something right?
That's pretty close.
Okay. I had lunch with Jeremy last week, and he goes, I'm so glad to hear you guys did that. We worked hard on that, reforming that. So OLA is a welcoming community of disciples of Jesus Christ in the Roman Catholic Church. Through the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we're always begging for the Holy Spirit, through the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the intercession of Mary, our patroness, our Lady Assumption, we serve to build the kingdom of God. So what's God's dream? Well, it's called the kingdom of God, but what exactly does that mean? Especially look through the eyes of the sacraments that we've received, which is God's preferred way that we come to be part of this fulfillment of God's dream. Well, the thing that's good about our mission statement, besides the fact that it's brief, the earlier one was way too long, you remember that, Jack? Way too cumbersome. It tells us who, it tells us what, and most importantly, it tells us why. Mystagogia. So what we did is we had a conversation where we looked at the four basic parts in that mission statement. And we only had two tables, I think of 8 or 9 people, and each of the tables said, we'll just talk for a while. Which of these four do we do really well? Or maybe rank them if you wanted to. But nobody ranked them. But both tables came up with two that we, their experience, your RCIA, do you remember what they were?
Probably welcome.
Discerning.
Mm-hmm. Right. Actually, it was welcoming community and it was gifts. And gifts were the sacraments that you just received, right? I think that's what the two were. And then disciples was the third. And then serving to build the kingdom is kind of like, waiting to understand that, okay? Waiting to understand that. So what we talked about as far as ways to get involved in the church were, first of all, praise and worship. Our mission, and the heart of that is liturgy. And so we talked about all the different types of things you could do to be a part of liturgy, from behind the scenes, where no one sees you like a sacristan, to being a lector or singing in the choir, something where you're comfortable putting yourself out there. But everything begins with liturgy. Remember, the Eucharist is the source and the summit of our faith. This is the picture of that meal that Christ had with those on the road to Emmaus, where they realized who he was after walking 8 miles and hearing him connect all the scriptures to Christ who had been crucified. But they only really recognized it was Jesus in the breaking of the bread. Okay. Then we talked about our mission is not just praise and worship, but it's service. And that should say service up there, my error. And I told that story that my friend who I've said it every year, who preached a homily. God bless you. And talking about service, the man told him after the homily, hey, it just comes down to this. We have two choices in this life. We either, like Pilate, wash our hands in the basin and say, I have no connection to it, I have no responsibility, I'm not connected. Or we tie a towel around our waist, we kneel down with that basin, and we wash the feet of others. Either we get involved and we live our faith by serving those that we can serve with the gifts that we've received to the best of our ability, or we're copping out. And so we've got to be involved. You can't just say, okay, I'll do something in liturgy. That'll be my thing. Well, that's a great service to the church community. But what about all those other people that God places in your life? Where is God asking you to serve? By just being the visible presence of the love of Christ
at work,
in your neighborhood, in the community, wherever the need is. So back to I Have a Dream. This was an eighth grade student's illustration of that phrase coming from the famous speech. Martin Luther King had a dream. And his dream, obviously, you can connect to Scripture because when he spoke, he did that often. And you can see all the things that were included in that. Human kindness, everyone matters, love, peace, tolerance, yeah, all those things. Making a difference, making a change, okay?
God's dream is even bigger. So what is God's dream?
Anybody? What do you think God's dream is? What is God's one deep desire? Speak up, camera.
Just love one another.
Okay. That is the command. Love one another as
I have loved you.
I loved you. Okay, that's a command, but you're right in the right ballpark. So if we do that, then we satisfy God's deep desire. But what is that desire? Very true. And it's only through relationship that we can accomplish this desire. But what is the deep desire? Say louder.
To be one.
Okay. At Jesus, in John's Gospel, the Last Supper Discourse is what it's called. It's like Jesus' last will and testament. Have you ever known someone who knows they're going to be dying soon? And so however long they have to share their heart, whether it's a moment or over the course of days or weeks or maybe a month, they only talk about what's really important. They're not talking about the Dodgers.
It's pretty important to me.
Well, I imagine if I'm on my deathbed, I'm probably not so interested in the score of the game or the stats or whatever. Okay, they're not talking about the weather. They're not talking about the little piddly things that bother us, conflicts in family and friends. No, talking about the things that really matter. And that's what Jesus did. And he said this prayer, Father, I pray that they may be one as you and I are one. Now, analyze that again. Perfect unity in the Trinity, we understand. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So what is God asking for his sons and daughters? That we be so united that we would be as united as the Holy Trinity. That's God's deepest desire. So yes, God desires to have a relationship with us. And if we don't hold back and we give our whole self to God, as we move closer to God through Christ and other people are moving closer, what's happening to our proximity with other people?
We're all
moving closer. But notice, I pray that they may be one. That's the whole purpose of the church, by the way. We talk about it being the presence, the physical presence, the continuum of the incarnation of Christ in the world. St. Teresa Avila's prayer. Christ has no body now but yours. Everything that needs to be done with a human body and a human presence and a human heart and a human mind has to be done by the body of Christ. And the body of Christ now is the church on earth. How
How can we do that if we're not one?
Greatest scandal in Christianity is the fracturing of so many different churches. Christ expresses the desire of his Father.
And he's begging the Holy Spirit as he prays to his Father.
Make them one as we are one. How do we do that?
We proclaim the good news
by the way we live our life. By loving others as Christ loved us.
That's what gets people's attention. And it means loving when we're not being treated well.
When there's injustice. When we're falsely accused.
When people are mean and nasty to us.
When we love despite all of that, that gets people's attention. It's the love your enemy thing. That was radical what Jesus did.
So it's proclaiming the good news and building up the body of Christ. Everything we can do to lift each other up, build each other up in strength, and bring others into the body of Christ.
And we do that, that gets people's attention more, the first part, but service.
You see, we're right back to what we talked about last week. The equation is this: proclaiming the good news plus building up the body of Christ equals God's dream. It's as simple as that.
You can get into some pretty profound theology if you want to, but boil it down and that's what it is.
Okay.
So, we're talking about discipleship here. Following Christ means to do what Jesus did. To preach, to teach, and to heal. Make whole. Another way of saying make one.
So, I got this off the website of a parish. I actually kind of like this a lot. You can see the C. And their catchphrase is, be one and make one. Be a disciple and help form disciples. That's why you're attracted to RCIA.
I mean, everything we said, obviously, is the same for anyone who understands their faith. But I dare say you came back to the reunion because this is your desire. Be a disciple and help form other disciples.
And I know, by talking to all of you who've returned, I bump into you, talk to you after Mass, text you, you email me, we have conversations. This is what you're doing.
You understand that the call of the disciple is not just to follow Christ, but to help bring others to Christ.
Okay? So, brings us to what we're going to do tonight. And I don't think this is going to last more than 30 minutes, so I'll leave it up to you for how long you want to do the face sharing, but let me set the table for you. What we're talking about is not just, ho-hum, I'm a disciple of Christ, I got baptized, I go to church, I give to charity, and I kind of sleepwalk through my life. It means dynamically allowing the Holy Spirit to transform you through these sacraments by understanding these sacraments and trying to live them. We've been preaching this the whole time, right? So if we're going to use five characteristics, let these be the ones that we'll use for tonight. A dynamic disciple believes that Jesus is God and man and came for all. That's a basic creedal statement, right? Either of the creeds that we say at Mass. We believe that this gift of Christ coming as one of us allows us to have this relationship in a way we could never experience unless God came as one of us. Okay, so that's statement number one. Number two, a dynamic disciple grows in their relationship with Jesus. Okay? We didn't graduate with our sacraments, and now we're guaranteed to get a get-out-of-jail-free card. When we die, we're okay. It's a little bit more involved than that, right? So it's growing in this relationship with Jesus. And we can't do that in a vacuum. That's why we need church. And why we need faith sharing. Because Christ becomes more real when someone shares how Christ operates in their life. And we go, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. That I've had that experience too. I'm not just imagining it. It's real. Or, wait a minute, I had that experience and I never made that connection. Christ is working my life more than I thought.
Simple fisher.
Three, gathers in Christian community. How are we going to share this faith that we have if we don't gather together? And I would say this gathering means more than just coming to Sunday Mass. It must be that. It needs to be that. But all the ways that we can gather and faith share and extend that liturgical celebration. This is why you're attracted to RCIA. This is why in October we'll be launching a renew program in the parish called Arise. And it's going to look like RCIA, but it's going to be at people's homes. And people are going to be invited to be part of small faith communities.
because you're part of RCIA, I'm giving you a little bit of a preview. And it's going to be done neighborhood-wise. So this is one of the reasons why we pushed so hard in the last year plus of getting good, accurate, up-to-date data of our parishioners. And where people live, we have a system now that can plot it out in the different neighborhoods of Ventura. And we're going to help form these communities. And there'll be someone that will help kind of lead that. And what it'll look like, we're going to see. I don't know exactly how it's going to be. Would it be at the same person's house all the time? Well, I don't know. Probably going to be up to the small faith groups. But imagine being able to have a group of 8, 9, or 10 people, like what you have around your table, that would meet periodically, and you would continue to grow in your faith with Christ together through faith sharing. Through an extended period of time. It's basically taking what we do in RCIA and extending it with a focus on mystagogia. Okay, it's that last step. In RCIA, we spend most of our time on the three steps, and then we prep you for mystagogia. This is an RCIA experience through mystagogia for people who maybe have never even experienced RCIA. A dynamic disciple loves as Jesus loved. And leads others to Jesus. So all the things that we were talking about here in our conversation, all the different things you brought up, right? These are the five. And I'll post this again, and we are digitally recording here. So if you want to go back and look at this later on, you can always go to the RCIA website. Okay? Believes Jesus is God and man, grows in relationship with Jesus, gathers in Christian community, loves as Jesus loved, and leads others to Jesus. I'm going to go to the next slide for our content for faith sharing. I will back it back up here because you're going to want to have this up while you do your table discussions. Okay, here we go. For tonight, as a group, rank the five characteristics in order of how well we do this, we live this as dynamic disciples here at OLA. Now, I'm going to tell you, I didn't create this. I got to be honest. Okay. Father Leon and I and Lauren went to a pastoral conference that is an ongoing thing that we're going to go to 3 more sessions of this. And it's helping with the direction of our parish, working with our parish council and all the other ministries and all the staff members. This is an exercise we went through. And as I was sitting there, I thought, this is perfect for mystagogia. Okay? So I know what the 3 of us ranked. The pastor, the pastoral associate, and the business manager. Let's see what comes out of these different tables. So you're going to just, you may have been in the parish for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, longer. How many years? 38. Okay. Or you may be new this year. So let's take all these different perspectives. Right now, how would you rank those in order of how well we live these? Okay. Then your second part for discussion is, then share with each other. Now, this is your individual, not your group consensus. The one characteristic you live most consistently and the one you hope to live more consistently this year.
Is so the first is how we view the parish as a whole.
Right.
And then
so discuss at your table and see what the different opinions are, but try to come to a consensus based on all your opinions, ranking 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Okay.
Whatever order. And then when you finish that, now share with each other, which of these characteristics do I feel I live most consistently right now, and which is the one that I would like to live more consistently this coming year? Okay? So this will take some time to do both, but I think we can do this and then do some full group sharing here and be done by about 25 minutes. All right.
Start, first of all, with that consensus, and it was to rank our opinion, consensus at our table, of how consistently we as a parish live these in the order of most consistently to need to live more consistently. So did tables actually rank them?
Yes.
Okay. So let's just hear the ranking and then see what conversation comes from that.
So how did you rank?
By number?
Yes, by number. Okay, so a table number one. we ranked it. Number one is beliefs. Number two, gathers. Number three, grows. Number four, loves. And number five, leads.
Interesting.
Okay. So we had as one, gathers, two, loves, three, leads, four grows, five believes, and we had a real hard time because it felt like the chicken and the egg.
Yeah. Yeah, they're all connected, right?
Very, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. How about the one far back?
We had gathers was one, grows was two, believes was three, loves four, and leaves five.
Interesting.
One believes, two gathers, three grows, four leaves, and five loves.
And then our table was?
The first was gathers, second believes, third loves, second grows in relationship with Christ, and five leads.
Did you see any? There was a lot of variety. Did you notice the one constant here? Yeah, four of the five tables said the one that needs that's less consistent is leading others to Jesus, and the one that didn't rank at five ranked at four. The rest were pretty much all over. Okay, what do you think that means?
Because we're not doing the job.
Well, the job is okay. Clearly, the job as a disciple is integrating in a balanced way all five of these things. But if you've got five different tables and five different consensi, and four, the first four are all mixed up, that means that maybe there's more of a balance in our parish than we have individuals think, even in a consensus. Because when you took the litmus test of five tables, it was pretty mixed up. The question is this: if all of us say that the fifth, and one said the fourth, is leads others to Christ, Jack said we're not doing the job. Not doing the job of leading others to Christ. What does that mean?
Well, that's the hardest one. Yeah. Well, except maybe for four. Yeah. Loving everybody like Jesus does can be pretty tough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It can be at some point. But for some of us at our table, and I'm sure we weren't the only one, we were asked, what are we living most consistently? And this year, what do we want to live most consistently? I'll speak for myself, but we had seven people at the table, four of us agreed. Growing in relationship with Christ is the one we want to concentrate on living more consistently.
We felt like that was a perpetual thing. That's an everyday, forever, for the rest of your life thing.
Yeah, that's the way we felt too.
Yeah. So that kind of all about
as a consensus. Mm-hmm. But did anyone at your table say that's the one that they really want to work on? Okay. Bill?
Number two kind of takes all five together because in order to grow, you have to be consistent with the four others.
Bill, I would submit you could say that about any of the four. It's just the way you look at it. It's like looking at a diamond and all the facets. One could look more beautiful than the rest. It just depends on how the light's striking it. But they're all—it's all the same diamond, and they're all equally important in the way it's cut, right? The point is that we need to strive for all five of these, integrate them in a balanced way. The reality is that's a challenge all the time. Somebody said it's a forever challenge. Yeah, whichever way you're looking at it. But I still go back to in this room, the consensus was leading others to Jesus. For some reason, some parishes do this better than others, but for us, evangelizing outside our faith community is the thing that I see that we hesitate doing the most. As a whole church community, but more individuals feel more uncomfortable with that than any of the other four characteristics. That's just been my experience as a deacon for 8 years. And you've confirmed it tonight. Okay. This is why the Christ Life series was so important this year. What did the Christ Life series do? Grow in your personal relationship with Jesus. It accentuated all of these. If you went through all three levels, but the bottom line was, if you don't have a relationship with Christ, how can you share that with others? Okay. Now the last one was actually called sharing Christ, right? Sharing Christ, you can share Christ, but there's still another part to sharing and then, you know, come and be a part.
Gathering.
Leading. Yeah, leading others to Christ. So hence the reason why we're going to embark on this Renew program of Arise. And I can't say enough about this. I'm not as familiar with it as other people who are doing all the groundwork to launch this, but from what I do know about this, this is
an awesome opportunity for our parish, which means for each of us individually too. If, could you imagine at this pastoral conference that I went to, there is a parish that has, what did they say? It's a large parish. They had, I think, 200 of these faith communities going.
Wow.
Now, let's assume it's just the size of each of these tables, right? Sure. But we're lucky to have five tables here tonight, okay? But imagine if that was times four, and that was what people were committing to every month. And growing in relationship with Christ through each other. Can you imagine what liturgy is like when you have that regular experience? I mean, you can, because you went through RCIA. Things transformed for you. Can you imagine what service would be like? And how many more people might choose to be actively involved in our parish? You know, what if it was more than 200? What if it was 300?
400? 500?
Wouldn't that be awesome? Anyway. Anybody want to talk about the experience of sharing at your table with what you felt you were most consistently living and what you want to more consistently live? What did you discover in your table conversation? You don't have to reveal what your individual one was unless you want to, but what did you get out of the table conversation? Was everybody the same? No. Was there a pretty large variety?
Yes.
I will tell you this. I actually wrote down for our table. I'm not going to reveal for everybody, but out of the seven people, four of us said grows in relationship with Christ. Okay, for the what they want to do more consistently. If you look at what people are doing consistently, it was totally diverse. All five of these were mentioned, and no consistency at all. What did you notice as far as your tables? Anything like that? Similar or dissimilar?
I think for us, I think for me, it was obvious the thing I wanted to do better was to
nice person.
So I thought it was pretty obvious to me that before it just jumped out at me because I wanted to do better myself personally. I'm sure it was probably different than everyone else. But
how many people named that as the one they want to do better?
Which one? Rose?
Loves.
As Jesus loved. Okay. Can we just do the others and see what the show of hands are? See how the diversity? How many people said believes that Jesus is...
In what respect? For our strong point or...
Okay. What Ken just mentioned, which is what he wants to live more consistently. Okay. So we're looking at that one. So the one we're concentrating on, living more consistently. Anybody have number one? Believes Jesus is God and man came from? Okay. How about number two? Grows in relationship with Jesus. Okay. Three, gathers in Christian community. Four, loves as Jesus loved. We just saw that one, but go ahead. And then five, leads others to Jesus. Okay, good. Yeah, all five were covered, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What's God's one desire? That we are one. That we are one. Okay. And what's the fuel for this? For our hearts to burn so that we can be dynamic disciples. The Holy Spirit. And how do we encounter this in a personal way? Jesus Christ. And sacraments. Only possible by God the Father giving His only Son, and the only Son choosing to give His whole self for us. That power of that sacrifice and the resurrection is what defeated sin and death. And that's the energy, and we receive this through the Holy Spirit, of the grace of the sacraments that we receive. That's the fuel. We know the mission. Our parish mission is sound. These are the five characteristics that we need to concentrate on. We need to pray about. We need to ask others to pray for us. We need to find opportunities to faith share where this is going to be reinforced. And we need good spiritual reading. Don't forget that. I've said that a number of times too. So you're reading scripture regularly, hopefully at least the gospel for the coming Sunday's Mass. But look for other good spiritual reading. And there's plenty of it out there from the saints, to different theologians, to spiritual leaders in the church. By the church, I mean the one baptism. All those who are baptized. All Christians. Okay? There's great stuff. All right. Well,
we have our marching orders.
We're going to take a little bit of a break, but I do hope that you'll consider coming for the summer series, too. And I do hope that any of you in this room who came, maybe because
it was a reunion and you were dying to get your RCIA fixed. For those of you where it is so strong that you're thinking, gosh, we're not gathered for 5 weeks? I'm going to really miss this. What am I going to do? Until July 16th. Think about being part of the team. And the team can be just a simple entry level of sit at these tables and help with face sharing. And then it can grow to whatever you like it to be. There's people who stood up and led the group who never would have thought they would have led. And then there's people who don't stand up here and lead the group, and they never will. Because it's not their forte. But let the Holy Spirit work through you. If this is where you're connected, then see what you can offer for those who will be coming and experiencing this for their first time next year. Okay? It'll look, oh, and Mary,
can I say
please,
something?
Please.
I just wanted to invite you this week. Thursday is Ascension Thursday, but we're going to celebrate it on Sunday. But I don't know how many of you have ever prayed a novena, and if it's new to you, you can Google novenas, but you can begin Friday to pray the novena to the Holy Spirit, and that leads you right up to Saturday, which would be June 8th, which is the day before Pentecost. And you're praying for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So I just would invite you and encourage you and maybe even challenge you to do that. So you would start Friday, and it's for 9 days. So you would end the following Saturday, which is just the day before Pentecost.
Thank you.
You can go online and find a Catholic website. Just you can Google Novena of the Holy Spirit, and there's several.
She's not talking about a specific place or time where everybody's gathering.
You're doing it personally yourself. Yeah. It could be morning, afternoon.
To search for it online?
Yeah. So, but it would begin on Friday. And Mary and the disciples prayed for 9 consecutive days prior to what became Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came upon them. So.
Thank you, Mary.
Thank you.
And may the Lord be with you. And may Almighty God continue to bless you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Thanks be to God.